What's it like to raise a child so impacted by cerebral palsy he can't speak or move his limbs? Dr. Stephen Gardner of Mass General Hospital has written a book about just that.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
In 2010, Stephen and Cynthia Gardner took us to Camp Jabberwocky on Martha's Vineyard, where severely physically challenged young people are literally swept up by a merry band of counselors. Cynthia was volunteer cook, Stephen volunteer camp doctor, who introduced me to campers like Hannah, who spoke with voice and computer.
This is Robin.
Hi.
This
yes.
is Aunt Hannah.
I'm a guest, yes.
Guest.
Is Dr. Steve taking pictures?
Yes.
How's your family?
Okay. We've been better.
This was the Gardners' first summer at the camp without their beloved son, Graham, who died the previous winter at 23. Now divorced, the Gardners are devoted to his memory and this community. And now Stephen Gardner tells of the almost mystical relationship they had with a boy a stranger once said had the light of God in his eyes. His book is Jabberwocky, Lessons of Love from a Boy Who Never Spoke. And Stephen Gardner, full disclosure, old friend, welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
What is cerebral palsy?
Cerebral palsy is a collection of disorders in which the brain has been injured, in some cases very mild, in other cases quite severe, which was the case with Graham. The injury can be during pregnancy or it can be during delivery. But what the spectrum has in common is it's some sort of injury to the nervous system that affects the child's ability to speak, to walk, or to fend for himself or herself in a normal way.
But you decide to shower him with physical love, with constant conversation. Cynthia, a stylist, dressed him to the nines, pushed the local schools to let him come to class. He was a pioneer in inclusion. As this is going along, can you describe some of the feelings of, wait, what? We're dealing, we have what?
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. In the beginning, I think, you know, you things like, is he ever going to ride a bike occurs to you. And then, you know, as time went on, we realized that his CP was going to be more severe. And we realized that we were going to have to help him with just about everything. But we also began to realize that just the time being together with this special boy was quite poignant and wonderful. And then later on, when we found this magical summer camp, Jabberwocky, we further rethought, you know, how we think about ability. And everything changed after that.
But as you're going along, as Cynthia in particular is pushing the school system to bring in this child who'd need a full-time aide, you're right, you did worry at the time, would kids make fun of him? Would he be accepted? Boy, was he ever accepted.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some, as you know, who would ask, where are you seeing that Graham is responding to you? Because they couldn't see it. Who may be thinking, even with compassion, oh, this is wishful thinking on your part. How did you know that there was something there?
So Piglet asked, how do you spell love? And Winnie the Pooh said, you don't spell love, you feel love. So it's not something that I think we could explain very well verbally. It was more something we felt radiating from Graham. Benevolence and goodness was unmistakable. And I suppose it came to us mostly through his eyes.
Yeah. Others saw it too. Start with the Marblehead, Massachusetts schools. Teachers who come up with the idea of having Graham have a designated driver, you know, kids who would push him. And these kids, they show up at the hospital when he gets very ill again at 12. Can you just describe your feelings about watching those young people?
Yeah, I would say stunned is the word. Intuitively, they realized that he was all there cognitively, even though he couldn't really express himself. And at a young age, they really understood compassion is a strength. And during those years, I don't think Cynthia and I can remember a single incident of cruelty.
Well, it's the same with these young counselors at Camp Jabberwocky, again on Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. At one point, you were worried about a young counselor who was going to be paired with Graham, and, you know, how would this go? And then you open a door, and there she is tenderly helping him bathe.
Yeah.
You come across some counselors one day in town with Graham. The skies have opened. It's raining so hard, it's like hail. And you pull up and say, you know, hey, you guys want to get in the Jeep with me? And they're like, oh, no. Off
yeah.
they go, all of them laughing.
Yeah. So Mr. Rogers, another philosopher, said the one thing that can change the world is when one person gets the idea that love can abound and be shared. And I think Mrs. Lamb, otherwise known as Hellcat, who founded the camp, had that in mind. She might have had the idea that laughing and being silly and being whimsical maybe was even more important than love. Challenging one another with activities that they haven't tried before. They regard one another with open hearts and open minds. There's a name for that now, which has been called Jabberwocky love.
Well, the Jabberwocky campers and counselors are also the highlight every year of the 4th of July parade in Edgartown and Martha's Vineyard. You mentioned Helen Hellcat Lamb, who founded the camp decades ago because she saw severely disabled young people kept in back rooms. Now, she has passed, but here's what she told me back in 2010 when we visited the camp. She was 96 at the time. We were waiting for the campers to march in the parade, and she says some of those back rooms are still there. Let's listen.
I have been into many houses, and even today, they have a special room for them, and they spend mornings, afternoons, evenings, nights in that room. And that's what I want to stop.
What do you want people to know about Camp Jabberwocky as we leave?
Keep on growing.
So keep on growing. But Steve, what do you say to parents who might be saying, I'm afraid? I mean, growing, you and Graham met up with the Reverend Ross Lilly. Yeah. He started Access America Sports. Suddenly you and Graham are windsailing with Graham lashed to a mast. You discover Crotchet Mountain School and Rehabilitation Center, where you and Graham ski together. You bike the Pan Mass Challenge, 40 miles. Graham now lashed to a cycle inspired by the Hoyts, the dad, Dick, and the son, Rick, who used to run the marathon. What do you say to people who say, I don't know that I can do that?
I mean, I think the Hoyts and the Lillys were pioneers. You know, they helped us understand that there's almost nothing that people with disabilities can't do.
Were you ever afraid? I mean, were you ever afraid if that wind sail tipped over, your son is lashed to the mast? Did you ever worry?
Yeah, we did. But I think we felt that if we didn't try things that were challenging, that Graham would end up, you know, as Mrs. Lamb said, sort of languishing indoors. But there, you know, there was an element of risk. That's true. We just decided we were willing to take that risk.
Yeah. Well, suddenly one day it's over.
Yeah.
You and he went for a swim. You always swam with him at the local Y.
Yeah.
And he has one of those terrible seizures, only this time. For those who questioned, what was he really contributing? What was he really, you know, all we have to do is see the hole that he left.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Yeah. I think it took a while to come into focus for Cynthia and me. After he passed, and by the way, as a physician, you know, I always worried that something bad might happen to him when I wasn't with him, like a seizure. And so I had to deal with this irony that when he passed away when I was with him and trying to help him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a sort of a bitter pill to swallow. But after he passed, one of the first things that got our attention in a big way was condolence cards. And I think they ended up totaling something like 1,500. We looked at each other, Cynthia and I, and said, wait, this guy's reach surpassed, you know, even what we thought was possible for a young man who never spoke. Yeah. We had a celebration of his life, and a number of people stood up. His music teacher from Crotchet Mountain referred to him as a spiritual master. Mm. Yeah.
Well, 750 people showed up at that memorial. Yeah. And these were people that may have just timed their walk to coincide with Cynthia pushing Graham as she did on her run. People you didn't even know were inspired by seeing him.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, now tell me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you went and maybe spent a little time in the wilderness, traveled abroad to help in medical crises in other countries.
Yeah. You know, I think the existential question many people ask when they lose someone they love is, will I get to see him again? You know, in some sort of energy. Cynthia and I were walking after celebrating Graham's life at Jabberwocky. All of a sudden, the night around us was illuminated, and we were surrounded by thousands of fireflies. I took it as a sign. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Dr. Stephen Gardner. His new book, Jabberwocky, Lessons of Love from a Boy Who Never Spoke. Steve, thanks so much.
Robin, I just will leave you with this question. Why can't the real world be more like Camp Jabberwocky?
Scholars and philosophers are pondering that. Thank you.
My pleasure, Robin.
'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe, all mimsy where the borogoves and the mome raths outgrabe.
By the way, Jabberwocky the Camp is completely funded by caring donors. Thankfully, like-minded camps are starting up. For more on Jabberwocky the book and the story it tells, and such great pictures, go to hereandnow.org.